Accession number 12707, Captain H.C. Brevis, Reel 1.
Captain H.C.F. Brewis, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Captain Brewis?
At Walbottle on Tyne in Northumberland, 12th of March 1919. Actually, my full name is Henry Charles Francis. I gather that when I was christened, the vicar said, "Are you trying to break the bairn's back with all those names?" So I've been Frank by choice ever since.
Are you the only one in the family?
No, I have a sister who's 7 years older than me, still alive. Just the two of us.
What did your father do?
Originally, like his folks from way back, they were farming. But as there were 15, mostly sons in father's family, there wasn't enough work on the farm for all of them. And in 1980, he joined the police force. So he was a policeman at Walbottle, actually seconded to the service of the Duke of Northumberland at the time. Mother's folks were country folks as well, large family, and I never knew any of my grandparents except my maternal grandmother. They were farriers and blacksmiths at Hepscott near Morpeth.
Did your mother work?
She had been a housekeeper to a doctor in Rothbury at one stage. And I think she went to stay with an aunt on several occasions and probably helped her. She was, what shall I call her? Not exactly matron. She was the widow of a police inspector, and they found her a job running the single policeman's quarters at Hexham. And father was stationed at Hexham, and that was where they met.
What kind of a home had you? What kind of a house did you live in? And,
until 1935, when my father retired, they were all police houses. When I was only about something like 5 or 6 weeks old, he moved to Wall's End, still on the Tyne, and he managed to get himself seconded again, and he worked as the yard policeman for the North Eastern Marine Engineering Company. And lived in a terrace house, one of two terraces in Wall's End that were mainly occupied by the shipyard workers. After that, and I'm jumping forward a bit here, but it's to do with housing. After that, he was transferred to a country station to a little colliery village called East Hartford, which is near Cramlington. And that again was a colliery house, but handed over as a police house at the time. And he was there till he retired. They were small, both Wall's End and Hartford. There were small terraced houses. Outside loos, the one at Wall's End was an earth closet to start with. And we graduated to a flush toilet later on. A bit dark and gloomy, not very big windows, backyard, back street. The front faced Wall's End Cemetery. And my memory of the early days was seeing lots and lots of military funerals Only registered with me at the time of seeing the Union Jacks on coffins. I realised afterwards that there were probably men who'd died of wounds received in the First World War and had been given a military funeral. It seemed to be a very frequent occurrence before I went to school. Memory still stays with me. In the early to middle 20s.
Would you describe your childhood as comfortable?
Yes. I don't really know what father's wage was at that stage. Later on, I think it was about £3 a week, which compared favourably with what shipyard workers were getting at Wall's End and miners were getting later on at East Hartford Colliery.
Being the son of a policeman, as a child, were you in any problems with the other children round about you?
Not really. There were occasions when I got a good belting for misdemeanors, and probably not severe, but a bit more than any other kid would have got for doing the same thing, because I wasn't setting a very good example.
So your father was quite strict?
He was indeed. In fact, I was a bit scared of him most of the time. He wasn't an enormous 6-footer or something. He's about 5'11", and fairly well built to go with it. Mother was like a little bird, actually, compared with him. But there were odd occasions when I'd pinched a turnip or was chasing somebody through a cornfield, and I just didn't time it very well. And he caught me at it with dire consequences.
Were you able to go on annual holidays?
Not annual. We were very often visiting relatives for short stays. Father had a motorcycle and sidecar combination, and we had relatives on my mother's side in North Yorkshire, and we were very often up at my mother's old home at Hepscott, because they had a huge garden, and father was a very keen gardener, and he used to go out there to help, and they still had a bit of land left that they used to run a small dairy herd way back on about 3 fields, but I think they'd been sold and they finished up with one. But there was always hay making, and eventually I was entrusted to drive a hay bogey and then and sometimes allowed to get on a horse-drawn hay rake, which I enjoyed very much, but didn't like the hay seep down my neck. We did get away in 1931 to London. We had a fortnight in London. On another occasion, when I was about 12, we had a family holiday in Edinburgh. But those were the two sort of highlights. The rest were going to stay with relatives in the Esk Valley, Great Ayton, or other relatives at Saltburn.
Was the policeman respected in these years in the community?
I would say so, yes. I was 15 when he retired, but he had lots of friends, both at Wall's End and Hartford. He tended to graduate to the farmers when we were in the country at Hartford. he hadn't many friends among the bookish runners, but he seemed to get on well with folks. And there was never any backlash against me, because he was the polish.
How did you spend your leisure time in the early years of childhood?
As a youngster. Can't think back very much. He being in the shipyard was a bit of an advantage, because I got a very nice sledge out of the Northeastern Marine Engine Company. And iron hoop, a gourd, as we called them, with a hook on it. We had a gourd club in Wall's End. And one of the other laddies' father worked in the brass foundry. And from scrap brass, we had a badge of the gourd club.
this would be the, what was called another past the county, the bull there. You had the ring and the hoop and...
Well, a hoop and... Hadn't heard that word. My leisure hours were rudely interrupted by an attack of scarlet fever at the age of 6. And I missed Christmas through that. Later on, after we moved to Hartford, I used to go with Father when he was off duty to many of the farms round about. I was in the choir at the local church, and we were near the River Blythe, and on a stretch between the Hartford Woods at Bedlington and the Plessy stretch of the river. But it was good fishing, and all from about 11 onwards. I used to haunt those woods, and got very friendly with a keen fisherman. He finished up making a rod for me, and gathering hazelnuts in the due season, fishing for sticklebacks and wondering why they died when they were left in a jam jar.
How old were you when you went to school?
5.
And which school was
that? That was St. Peter's Church School in Wall's End.
And what was your school life like?
Didn't like the headmaster, but I liked the other teachers. But he was I don't think that he was a stern character, but he just had that atmosphere about him, and he was a very detached figure. And when it came to getting on towards thinking about scholarship, he started pushing me, and I felt he was pushing me too much. However, Father got moved, and we finished up at an entirely different school.
How old were you when this move came?
9.
And which school did you go to then?
Then it was East Hartford Colliery School. None of the teachers lived in the village. They all travelled to work. The head lived in Cramlington, not far away. His instrument of reprimand was about 2/3 of a billiard cue. The class teacher, he was pretty good. And eventually I got a scholarship through him, but I didn't like it in the afternoons, because he used to go to the local pub and have a sandwich, lunch and a pint. and he didn't smell too good when he came back. One of the highlights of that school was 1929, when the Prince of Wales was doing his tour of colliery villages. And he came with his entourage, and it had been very wet weather immediately before, and there were no made-up roads in this village. And I can still see him yet pulling up his trousers and plunging through the mud. And so he wasn't all that an impressive figure in the circumstances. And we all marched around the school hall beside him, where he'd left a muddy trail to where he was having to stand for this procession past him. And he visited a number of the houses in the colliery rows and chatted with the occupants.
And was he received well?
Pardon?
Was he received well?
Yes, indeed, yes. I mean, it wasn't a large population, but they all turned out, those of the, that weren't on shift work at the pit. Ours was the only telephone in the village. So Mother was getting herself into a bit of a flap when some of his entourage landed down to want to use the telephone. It was one of those funny things in a wooden cabinet on the wall with an adjustable speaker and a detached earpiece.
Was it a run-down area, the colliery area that you lived in?
Not really. There were no pithead baths or anything at that stage, so the men came back black. But, you see, there was an outhouse, a wash house, and they'd all been supplied with baths. And there was a set pot in the corner to heat the water. But they didn't like them. They used to use hip baths in front of the fire, usually a roaring fire with the miner's free coal, the sort of fireplace with an area at the fire back where there would be about a half a hundredweight of coal piled up, you know, and that was comfort. But actually, the house that we moved in, the bath had been moved out into the backyard, was filled with soil and was a cast iron flower bed. The houses themselves, there was one main bedroom which had windows, but a great long sloping room at the back, the smaller bedroom, which only had a skylight. Earth closets outside. Brick pavements, and then either dust bowl roads in the summer or a quagmire in the winter.
Was there much suffering in the village, in the area, when the hard times came in the 20s and 30s?
This was almost past. We went there in 1928 and we were there till 1935. Hire purchase was just starting. I remember a bicycle shop that started up then, and suddenly the whole village had bicycles, you know, for half a crown down, and pay till kingdom come. A lot of them went back to the shop owner before long when they didn't keep up the payments. But bicycle was virtually the only means of transport. No bus came into the village. The nearest to railway station was the main London Edinburgh Aberdeen line at Cramlington. I think the colliery manager had a car. That was probably the only one. The odd motorbike. Father still had his motorcycle and combat. Sidecar combination. Excuse me. But Oh, the miners used to get dressed up in their Sunday best, usually black or navy blue suits with a white silk scarf and a black cap. There was both a club and a pub in the village, well patronised. Gave Fowler a bit of work to do now and again, but not all that rowdy, really. There were self-styled gangs among the youngsters, but we didn't get much further than muck battles with clothes props and bin lids and things like that. Pinching turnips and chasing through cornfields and various other things, but...
You came to the age when you would be sitting scholarships, as you said. What were those?
Oh, no. To a large extent, as far as I can remember, the main emphasis seemed to be on a sort of intelligence test. You know, if A is greater than B, write C, or words to that effect. And if it's 20 past four and the watch is held up to a mirror, what time would it look like? And it was one particular paper I remember was that sort of thing. And it was essentially a speed test as much as anything. I think the maths was just arithmetic, and the English paper seemed to incorporate questions that covered the odd aspect of geography or history woven into it. I'm not very clear about that now.
What was the result of it? Did you pass?
Yes. Mm.
And what did that mean?
That meant going to the then boys' secondary school at Blyth. Blyth is a port on the coast north from here. For some time, travelling by bus. But around about 1934, a farmer relative had bought himself a rather nice rally bicycle. But he found that he'd put on a bit too much weight, so he sold it to me. So I cycled after that.
Did you have expenses like uniforms and things like that for the that the family had to buy?
Yes, school uniform, including the school cap, which they insisted on us wearing, at least till we were out of sight. Blazer, tie, grey socks, grey shorts. I think that pushed my folks a bit. I think school uniform and dinner money may have pushed my parents quite a bit. I said earlier that we didn't have regular holidays. It was visits to relatives, and that was repaid by them coming to stay with us. I have vivid memories of an overcoat that I had to wear till it became a sort of slightly longer jacket. And I used to go to school pushing my hands in the pockets to try and make it a bit longer, because I was the odd one out. I used to get into an awful lot of trouble if I didn't take care of clothes, which I think possibly adds to what I've been saying about them being pushed financially. I know that Father was a bit of a dabbler. He and I'm going back a little bit now just to give you the sort of feeling. He and one of his many brothers, the one nearest in age, when grandfather was still farming at Middle Duddo, west of Stanning, these two went off to mope with Martin. They bought themselves some sheep and they put them on the pasture as far away from the farm as possible. And grandfather was getting on in years, but he decided that he was going to have what might be his last look round the farm. And he was still riding on horseback, and he found these sheep. Didn't say a word. Had them sent them up with Martin and sold them and kept the money. So not all fathers' investments went well, and they'd bought some shares in the Chopping Brick Company. And it was about the time we're talking about when I was needing school uniform and things like that. This firm went bust, and I never knew how much it was. It couldn't have been a lot. But anyway, that went west, and it was purely his police wage.
So that there was a certain amount of financial stringency for you in those years.
We never went hungry, and we were far better off on his wage than the miners round about. I think if they worked the full shifts, they were on about 30 bob a week.
At the senior school, what was the education like? Was it? Did you find that it was formative and going to be useful to you when you came to your later years?
Well, it was a lot of chalk and talk. For the first 2 years, it was single-sex school, but in the same building, boys at one end, girls at the other. My wife was in the other end. And the headmistress died, and the County Education Committee decided that they would make it co-educational. So the two schools were merged. That caused a bit of upheaval. Not for long. The two science labs were adjoining, and there was a communicating door which previously had never been used. But old Stinks, as we called him, wing collar and pince-nez, and always a beautifully cut two grey suits, dark grey for the winter. You knew summer had come when he turned up in the light one. Oh, had no use for this woman with the biology specimens and this, that, and the other. He was a physics man. They didn't get on well. The history man, that's when everybody's writing went all to pot, because he would fill three blackboards with his history notes. And it was a devil of a job to keep up with him. His writing was, you know, he would have made a good doctor as far as his writing was concerned. And by the time he'd filled the three, he was ready to rub off and start again. Eventually, he got round to issuing wads of cyclist-styled notes as it got nearer school cert, this, that, and the other. But that was his method. The science teacher, he dictated his notes. On the whole, the women were better teachers. The geography bloke was good, but it was always embarrassing. He'd had a throat wound in the First World War, and he had a plate in his throat. And we got a lot of chalk and not so much talk, but when he did talk, it was very, very difficult to make out what he was saying. But he and I got on very well. Talking about finance, I used to get financial rewards at home for good marks rather than regular pocket money. I didn't get anything for helping in the garden or feeding the hens, but we did a lot of map making in geography, more on purely outline maps. And it would be all sorts of things, be temperature, rainfall, products and so on. And I seem to be able to print small. And I used to often get full marks for my maps, so I collected. So the geography side of it was quite popular from the financial aspect. I think I was in love with the English mistress. But I think, broadly speaking, the women teachers taught me more than the men did.
How old were you when you came to school certificate?
1935.
And what did you do there, or how did you get
on? Oh, crikey. You see, they lost my school certificate later years at the King's College, Newcastle. What did I do? I got, what did we take? 9 subjects I got. For grade credits, I got a special credit in English and a pass in Latin, which made me very unpopular with Miss Jamieson.